Okay, church, go ahead and turn your Bibles to one or two places. One, go ahead and have it open to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, and then go ahead, if you have a tassel, a bookmark, a pen, or if you just have a fantastic memory, go ahead and put a tassel in Mark 16. So have your Bibles open to Matthew 27 in... Also, in a few minutes, we will find ourselves in Mark 16. It says, as you flip in your Bible, just a few words of encouragement. If you are a visitor here, if I don't know you, if we've never shook hands before, my name is Pastor Hunter. First name Pastor, middle name Hunter. I'm one of the many leaders at Eastview. God's blessed us with many men who lead well and have led faithfully many years. And so we have prayed for you. Not only have we been blessed by the many men and women, young and old, kids alike, that have spent many hours preparing this, I want you to understand that if you have come here today and you're not a member of Eastview, this is the first time you've been in church in a while, we did all of this for you. We could have had church at our church, but we wanted to open up something in our community because we prayed for you out loud and then also at home internally, night after night after night. God, fill this place up with people that might need you, that we know need you, that need the fellowship of the church, of brothers and sisters, that need the gospel in their heart, Lord. Fill this place up with people that need Christ. And so if you are here today, welcome and understand that we desperately wanted you this morning. So thank you for choosing us to worship with. And so the question is, before we read Matthew 27, and Matthew 27, starting in verse 32, is the death of Christ. The question is very simple. Have you been changed by the gospel? And so I've told my wife, I told my kids, I've told many of the people of our church this week that I often struggle with the Easter message at times. And the reason that I struggle with the Easter message is because I throw myself in God's Word and God's blessed me with passion and creativity. And sometimes I love just digging and digging and digging and digging and preaching boldly. But at times when you find yourself in Christmas or Easter, it's a message that 99% of the world, you might be a believer or not, but it's the majority have heard the message before. And so sometimes as a pastor and a speaker and a teacher, I have a hard time just preaching messages that everybody knew what you were getting before you stepped in. And so you might not be a Christian this morning. You might not know what comes after Genesis, but none of you guys expected anything except the cross and Jesus' death this morning. So at times I struggle. And so I was praying, God, what would you have for me? Give me a word. Give me the passion to speak boldly to the people that need to hear it, which is all of us, if you know it or not. And God placed on my heart this reality that even though that the high majority have heard and know the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there are still churches that are filled this morning in 2024 globally that have not been changed by it. You hear me? There are people here, as I'm reading this, you might be able to get up on stage and preach it for me. You go, Hunter, I know how he died. My youngest one, that's birthdays today, she's 7 years old. She can tell you how Jesus died. If I ask her how many days until he rose again, she would tell you 3. If I ask her what happened after those 3 days, she would tell you he rose. Like I would ask the littlest of smallest children, and they know the story of his death and his burial of resurrection. However, I am a strong believer that someone in this room and churches globally across this world are filled with people that have their Sunday best on and they took their pictures in front of the sceneries and they have their baskets ready for eggs and they have heard the message week in and week out, but they have not been wrecked by it. And so my question is very simple to you this morning, no matter who you are. If you're a theologian and you're a member of the church or this is the first time you've been in church in a really long time, does my life show fruits and evidence that I have been changed by the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ? And so before we get into the resurrection, let's listen to God's word in Matthew 27, starting in verse 32 of his death. And so as you flip in your Bibles, please understand that God's word is far greater than mine. And so this is the third time I've asked you to turn in your Bibles for a reason. I would love for those Bibles to be open. Have a highlighter if you got it. We work here at this church. And so you're going to hear me oftentimes say highlight because I mean to highlight it, okay? And so look at God's Word in Matthew 27, starting with verses 32. It says in God's Word, "Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by his name, and they compelled him to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, in the place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. And when he had tasted it, he would not drink of it. And then they crucified him and divided his garments, cast lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, that they divided his garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And then those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Who are you that says that you're going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days? Save yourself then, if you are,'" highlighted, if you are, "'prove yourself, Jesus. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross.' Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and the elders said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save.' If he is the king, if he is the king of Israel, let him come down from that cross and we will believe him then. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing." Now from the sixth hour, verse 45, church. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of those who stood there, when they heard that this man was calling for Elijah, and immediately one of them took the sponge, filled it with sour wine and put it on the reed and offered it to him to drink. And the rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come to save him." Last verse, and we're going to pray for our time together. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. And at that time and moment, he yielded up his spirit to the heavens. Let's bow our head. God, we thank you for today. God, we pray that you would fill this space and you have filled this space. Lord, how you have grown your church amazes me. And in this moment, as we break bread and we sing and we have all the children, as my brother David said, from the very young to the old, Lord, we give you all the glory. A moment like Easter Sunday for a church like Eastview just magnifies your greatness. And so, Lord, let us never be surprised at the fulfillment of your word or the promises that you've kept. You have been good to us, and we give you all the glory. Lord, I thank you for every ear that might hear today and every tongue that speaks and every eye that sees, Lord, I thank you for our visitors. Lord, we live a very, very busy life. We are consumed with busyness. We are distracted by idols. Our minds and our hearts and our stresses and our anxieties and depression is pulled in a million different ways. Lord, I pray that you press pause on this world. I pray that the egg hunt can wait because we are in desperate need of the gospel more than anything in this world. I pray that you quiet all noise, that the men and women, young and old, the ones that might feel like they know it by heart and the ones that have never heard it before, I pray that you pierce hearts, that you make very little of us and very much of you this morning. Lord, I pray that you save. I pray many, many years from now, someone looks back on this day and this time in history and says, "This was the day that God saved me." I pray for salvation this morning. In your precious and in your holy name, in the name of God, our Father, in Jesus, our Savior, His Son. The church says in harmony, amen. Last week, if you're a part of our church, I proposed the question of, could you imagine the death? When we think about Easter, we oftentimes don't think about the resurrection. To this morning, Jesus has already died on the cross and He has already risen from the tomb. Amen. Praise God. But when we think of Easter, we often just think about the cross, which is not a bad thing to think about, but it's not exactly Easter Sunday. And so when we think about Easter, I talked about Good Friday, and last Sunday as we walked towards this moment in time, I asked the question, can you imagine Jesus's walk towards the cross? Can you imagine the hate and the insults? I talked to a good friend and church member just yesterday about this. Can you imagine this moment where you came to die for those in the moment who would curse you and spit on you and throw vile words at you and laugh at you? Can you imagine not just the physical pain, but can you imagine the emotional pain that Jesus went through? But in light of all of that, can you imagine the physical pain? Can you imagine the whips and the hits? Can you imagine the stones that were thrown? Can you imagine the thorns that pierced the head? We talked about it last week, but each thorn is believed to be 2 to 3 inches. This is not something that you would find on a rose bush in Carroll County. These were different thorns, as if they were made to bring harm. Can you imagine this moment that Jesus went through? And then let alone that, after He drug the cross to the space in which He would be crucified, can you imagine nails? And when I say nails, I mean stakes. Can you imagine both hands? Can you imagine, just take a second, close your eyes if you got to. Can you imagine like railroad stakes being hammered into your hands and then one foot on top of the other foot nailed together? Can you imagine such a thing? And most of you go, yes. I've never been through such an awful, tragic event, but I can't imagine it, because when you say Easter, that's the only thing I think about. Here's the truth. When I say Easter, most of us simply just think about the physical pain that Jesus went through, not really the spiritual turmoil and the battle, the cosmic moment that Jesus Christ was enduring on the cross. We just think about the nails. And because we just think about the physical pain, church, we often miss the big picture, what is happening. And so man, hear me, don't lose me. Man thinks about the physical pain of the cross because man can't fathom the wrath in which he experienced. And so in that moment, and we talked about it last week, if you were with us, in that moment in the garden when Jesus is praying, He is not praying, God, spare my life, or if I can avoid the nails or the thorns, it would be great. No, there is a moment in time where Jesus Christ hung on a cross, the one who knew no sin became sin. He soaked up all of hell for eternity. He paid the ultimate price, perfect in God's eyes. And there was a moment where God turned from our Lord. He was not praying to avoid the physical pain. That is why He came. There was a cosmic battle that man cannot comprehend. And so the reason that we focus on the nails is that that's all our human minds can imagine. Can you even explain to me what wrath is? Think for a second. I pulled you aside over a cup of coffee and I said, explain to me what wrath is in your own words. You wouldn't be able to do it because the human vocabulary won't allow you. And so what does man do? I don't understand the wrath of God, and so I'll focus on the hands of man. And oh, those nails must have been awful. Let alone can I not explain wrath. I can't explain eternity of it. And here is the danger in all of this. Is that when man just simply looks at the physical pain that Jesus endured on the cross, our minds and our hearts and our thoughts will go towards, look at what they did to Him versus look at what He's done for me. And so Easter Sunday is this moment of where our imaginations just go to this small part of the story of the cross, the physical pain in which He endured on our behalf, which I still can't imagine. But there was so much more going on, and the whole crowd goes, man, look at what they did to Him. Because you and I don't look in the mirror and go, Jesus endured the wrath of eternity like a sponge. He soaked up hell for you and I, because you and I are sinners. Heaven is perfect. You and I are not. So there had to be a price tag, and that price tag was perfection. And my friend, you and I aren't perfect. So only one could pay the price, and that is Him. So Easter is not about the physical pain in which he endured. Easter Sunday is not look at what they did to him. It is look at what I have done to him and look at what he has done for me. And so the reason that I start this off with the death is because the truth is, even though you've heard this message year after year after year after year, I think the majority of our church has missed what's going on. The resurrection is no different. How many in this room have attended Easter services since you were just a little child? You know the story, you know the sermon. Brother, you better tell me something I don't know. You know the scripture before I even tell you where to flip. Everybody knew the sermon before I said welcome. But how many of you would draw a blank if I asked you to explain to me the power of the resurrection? Not give me the story. Hang with me. If I asked you, tell me the story, you would all be able to give it to me. But if I ask you, what is the power in it? Why did it have to happen? Could you answer that? Because Good Friday, church, when Jesus hung on the cross, he said it was finished. So why did we need the resurrection? Can you answer it? I asked a young child that this week. I said, why was the resurrection so important? He was easy. It was the ultimate I told you so moment, right? That Jesus is just waiting to play that card and laugh at everybody. What would you say to me? If Jesus Christ paved the way for heaven, if he paid the price for our sin, if he soaked up hell on the cross, if it was finished then what is the power of the resurrection and why should it change our life? Well, if you're a little confused at that question and you can't answer it for yourself, don't beat yourself up too bad. Even the men who walked with Jesus were confused. These men, the disciples, were not just hearing sermon after sermon, year after year. These were men that were literally and figuratively just walking and hearing, digesting, learning, being taught by Christ. This is not just some man in Huntington doing his best to teach. This was Jesus preaching to 12 and they were confused. So why would you and I be so confident that you might fully not understand what's happening today? He says it in Mark 9. You don't have to flip. Just listen to my words. He says they went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know. For he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. But get this. But when they heard this, they did not understand what he was saying. And not only did they not understand what he was saying, guess what, church? They were afraid to ask him about it. And so if you're a part of the church, you remember that sermon a few months ago that we talked about the difference between hearing and listening. As a pastor, a man of God who sits with many people in council, I came into this game thinking that everybody was on the same page. And that is not the truth. Like many of you will sit here today and you will hear the gospel. You'll hear God's word. You've been in church for so long, but you don't understand what people are saying. And like the disciples, you're too scared to say it, right? There's a difference between hearing and listening. If you just look up the definition of it, hearing is literally just the acknowledgement of noise. I hear the words, but I don't understand what you're saying. Listening literally means to not only hear, but to digest, to understand. And for what you hear, turn to action. The disciples heard every word that Jesus said. It wasn't Sunday morning service. They were walking with Christ, but they still didn't fully grasp it. It's not just Mark 9 that says this. I want you to hear these three verses in these three different chapters. It says, he began to teach them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, he will rise. Still confused. In Matthew 16, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And on the third day, be risen. Still confused. in Luke 18. And taking the 12, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished." He's not hiding his words, guys. This is not a parable. This isn't confusing. He's very direct. "For he will be delivered over into the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him." And guess what? Once again, church, "and on the third day, he will rise." Why do I share that with you this morning? Because I truly believe that it is possible to attend year in and year out Easter services like clockwork, to have you and your family matching in colors that you probably don't need to be wearing, and fill your bags with eggs that you don't need, and you sit here and you go, "Hunter, I know this story." I'm not asking you if you know this story. I'm asking you if you've been wrecked by it. We all know you know. The disciples know. Jesus was walking with each of them and says, "This is how this is going to go down." And what did the men say? The scripture says it. What is he talking about? He's going to die, and they're going to hang him, and then he's going to come back to life? Like, what are you saying? And I can't ask him because that's going to make me look really ignorant, right? And so here's the truth. Churches are filled this morning. I think people are in this building today, and you know I'm talking to you. They go, "Hunter, I know how Jesus died, and I know how many days it took for him to rise, but I have not been wrecked by the gospel." You know why? Because my life is evidence of it. My life shows that I just know the story and I've heard a bunch of messages, but my life has not been changed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we see in the disciples. Hear me out. Confusion was always evidenced by the lack of action, the lack of change from those that heard it. It wasn't just their intellect. It wasn't just their understanding of the brain of like, "I get what he is saying." It was their actions that showed that they did not understand. What do I mean by that? If you know the story of the gospel and what happened in the moment where he was going to the cross and after he died, Jesus told these men many times what would happen. But when they took Jesus, what happened? When they took Jesus away and led him to the cross, what happened to those same men? The Peter, the one who dropped the nets at the very beginning to follow Christ, what happened when the men came to take him? He pulled out his sword and says, "You're going to have to go through me." But when they dragged Jesus away and Peter and the other men knew what was about to go down, there's no saving this man. What happened to Peter when he saw that young peasant girl? What'd he do? Denied him. How many times? Three times. We're not talking about a general. We're not talking about an army. We're not talking about a gang. We're talking about a young peasant girl. She looked at Peter and says, "Aren't you that guy?" And he said, "Not I." Says the third time, he cursed her. And so not only were they confused by the resurrection, but they were in denying who Christ was and any partnership with him when he was alive. Keep following me. What happened to those same men after Jesus died in John 20? It says they locked themselves in the upper room. Why? Because they knew whatever came for Jesus was about to come for them. It says in John 20 that they saw what happened to Jesus, and they knew now that they have killed Jesus, the same type of punishment, that same pain that we fixate our eyes on, that same pain that we're scared of is now about to come for us. And so the closest men to Jesus, the closest men to Jesus, the ones that heard his teachings and saw his miracles and were told what was going to happen, intellectually confused, denying and abandoning him when he was alive. And now after his death, in which he told them would happen, what do they men do? They hide out of fear. So these are men that heard the Easter story, were not changed by the Easter story. Now listen to the resurrection. I told you to put a tassel in Mark 16. Go to Mark 16, verses 1. As you flip, go back. If your mind needs a refresher, what are we talking about this morning, Brother Hunter? We're talking about, is it not just the message that I know, but have I been changed by the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Has the resurrection changed me? Does my life show evidence of it? Or am I still confused? Am I still denying? Am I still hiding? Who am I? Look at Mark 16, verses 1 through 18. It says, "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, brought spices that they might come to anoint him. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. The sun had risen, and they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in long white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Now he is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him.' And so he said for you to go. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, and they trembled and they were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And now when they rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, and out of whom he had cast seven demons. And she went and told those who had been with him, and they mourned and they wept. And when they had heard that he was alive, they had been seen by her. They did not believe these things, would you, church? Even though they told him, even though he told them, when it happened, they were still in disbelief. And after that, he appeared in form to two of them, and they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe either. Later, verse 14, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen." Let's take a pause for a second. Understand the moment, because I think you and I are the same. Here's a space where Jesus walked with these men, told them what would happen. They saw it fulfilled. He rose on the third day, just like he said he was. Now he stands in front of them, but it is so wild and crazy to think about and to be a part of. Even with Jesus being in front of them, it says they still did not believe. Verse 16 or 15, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. And in my name they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly. It will be by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.'" And then it says in God's word in Acts 1:3 that he presented himself alive to them after suffering many proofs, and he appeared to them for 40 days speaking about and teaching on the kingdom of God. I think this is a truth that many of us miss. I think many of us, when we think about the death, burial, and resurrection, when Jesus rose, he just kept going, right? Like when he came up out of that grave, he never stopped. He just kept going, and we all looked at him in the skies. He got so far out of sight, we couldn't see him anymore. It says that Jesus hung around for 40 days. What would that do to you? I started thinking about this morning. It was a late addition to the note. I started thinking, like, if I was preaching right now and Christ came in and said, "Hey, Hunter, I appreciate your preparation, brother, and not to cut you off, but have a seat. I got the rest of the sermon." And Jesus Christ finished this message out and he preached like you have never heard a sermon. What would that do to the rest of your life? Would you tell anybody about it? Some of you would quit jobs. You would sell off items to give to the poor. You would move your family like crazy idols would go to the side. You'd stop worshiping the silliness of this world. You would be wrecked if Jesus showed up. And so I'm just asking the question, has Jesus ever showed up? Because I believe that if you had 40 days with Christ after his death, your life would be obviously different to everyone around you. And I'm just asking a simple question. When people look at your life, do they know that you've experienced Christ? Has your words changed? Has your hearts changed? The truth is, when we look at Peter and we look at people like Paul and we look at others, we go, what faithful men. Church, I don't think they had a choice. Like, how wild would it be if Christ came in and you heard him speak and you knew it was him and you just went on your normal day? That would be crazy. So my question is, not have you heard this message, but have you been changed by this message? So after Jesus, I want you to turn your Bibles to this space. It might be the last time I have you flip, but I want you to see it. This is the impact of the resurrection on men who were confused, who abandoned, and who were fearful. After they experience Jesus Christ and his resurrection, I want you to see how their life changes. Look at Acts 3, verse 11. I want you to see it. Last time I have you flip, I think. Yeah, last time I have you flip. Go to Acts 3. Hang with me. Starting with verse 11. So remember, we have had this progression. I've asked you the question, is this a message that you have just heard many times, or have you been changed by it? We've looked at the death and we have said that there is times where we would just focus on portions of the story and miss the bigger picture. We've looked at the disciples as the great example of this. Men that heard the message, saw the message come to fulfillment, but were still intellectually confused. They abandoned him while he was alive and then hid from punishment from men out of the fear that the same death would come to them. But listen to their words now after he rose and he ascended. Look at Acts 3, verse 11. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, the same men that hid, the same man who cursed the little peasant girl, all the people ran together to them in the porch, in which was called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the God of our fathers glorified his servants, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead, which we are witnesses." Please do not quickly move from this or drown me out. So we have men that did not intellectually understand what Christ was saying. He hid and denied Christ from a peasant girl when Jesus was alive. And now Jesus is dead. And my brother is preaching faithfully and boldly to anyone who will listen. Explain it. Explain it. He says he's not just talking to other believers. He's talking to the same men who he hid in the upper room from. So ask yourself the question, if Jesus didn't rise, why are they preaching this message? It keeps going. I want you to flip, please, to chapter 4. And I want you to listen to verses 1 through 4. Same book, Acts. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus and the what? Resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men who came to be, it was about 5,000. This is what it looks like to be wrecked by the gospel and to experience the resurrection. men who were confused, men who denied, men who hid from fear, to now preaching with boldness and clarity and dying for the same message. Guys, if you're paying attention, that's a big gap. To not understanding what this man is saying, to preaching the word to anyone who hears, how do you explain it outside of the fact that they experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And not only now were they not hiding, they died for that same message. You might know the story of the disciples, but do you know how they passed? Listen to this little rap sheet of hardships that they would experience for the same message that you and I hear every year. Andrew was crucified like Christ. James was executed by the sword. Philip died by being beheaded. Bartholomew was also beheaded. Thomas was killed by the spear. Matthew, there's some different beliefs. Some believe he was burned, stoned, stabbed, or beheaded, but either way, doesn't sound fun. James, the brother of Jesus, while preaching the gospel, was pushed down from the pinnacle of the temple. And when he fell to his face, he was then beaten with a club by a gang of people and then stoned to death. Simon was believed to also be crucified. Jude, he died by the axe. Matthias was stoned to death, and Paul was beheaded. Peter, please hear me. Peter, the same man who looked at that young girl and said, even though I know all of this story, I am scared to death. While Jesus was alive, who told that girl, I do not know him. Do you know how Peter died? He and his wife were crucified, but when they put him on the cross, he says, I am not worthy. You can kill me. You can kill my wife, but I am not worthy to die like my Savior. So put me upside down. So I want to press pause in the moment, and I want you to think logically, not even spiritually. If you are a non-believer today, if you have doubt in your heart today, if you roll your eyes at all of this, if you are dragged here this morning, or if you just came for the breakfast or eggs, if when I preach the gospel or you read this, this just sounds like a fairy tale. How could a man build a cruise ship out of wood? And how could a whale swallow a man? If this is all silliness to you, think logically. How does a man go from not understanding and hiding to preaching boldly and hang me upside down? They denied Jesus when he was alive, but they said, kill me when he was dead. Guys, the way that the disciples died is not in the scriptures for the most part. These are history books. If you might not know this, I think many don't, but like this, there's no like debate, is Jesus real? The non-believers believe that Jesus is real. The debate is he the Son of God? And listen to me, if these men, after Jesus had died, years later say, you can have my life. Well, then something crazy, wild, chaotic happened with their existence, and that was the resurrection. We see it in 1 Peter. You don't have to flip. The same man, at the end of his life, before he died, he said, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. According to the great mercy, he has called to us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These were men that experienced this. If we look at Paul's life, how does a man go from hating Christians to dying for them? These are men that have been wrecked by what they've experienced. Because when we look at the resurrection of Jesus, his resurrection is our resurrection. And so as we start to get to the end of the message, we come to a close. And I would just love for you, one, to praise God and honor him for your salvation this morning. But just ask yourself a simple question. Not is, do I know the story of Jesus's life, death, burial, and resurrection? But more importantly, have I been changed by it? Have I been wrecked by this? Has my life been changed by this? When we look at the disciples, that's what we've just done for the last 30 minutes. The world looked at them and said, I cannot make sense of this. When Peter looked at those men and says, hang me and my bride upside down. Do you not think they were like, man, this guy is going down hanging onto this belief? Does your life have a twinkle of that in it? Are you still confused? I've heard it, but I don't get it. I'm still hiding from it. I'm scared to death to say it. I don't know what that's going to mean to my life. Does your family look at you and know my dad has been rocked by the gospel? I know my dad, my mom has been wrecked by the resurrection. Their life is different. Does your family know that? Are you just dressing up and playing church this morning like my kids play house? Please hear me, guys. I used to think hell was going to be filled with axe murdering rapists. No, there's going to be a lot of churchgoers in hell. The Bible is very clear. You can know all the scriptures. You can memorize them. You can say that my dad was a deacon in a church and I've given 12% my entire life. If you have not been wrecked and radically changed by the gospel, that I believe that not only he exists, but I have put my faith and my trust in the Savior in which I need, and now I submit my life to following him, then you will not find glory. And so you sit here this morning and you go, hey, Hunter, I feel you, man, but I haven't had 40 days with Jesus, right? If Jesus came in and he finished your sermon, yes, my life might be radically changed. But in John 20, this is what it says. He says, when Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it by my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they now still believe. Yes, you might not get 40 days with Christ, but you are still an eyewitness. Personally, I was not raised in the church. I did not have Christian family, friends. My wife was the first faithful Christian I ever met in my life. And I am a witness to what the Holy Spirit does in a man's life and the beautiful gift of the church and how the scriptures are the greatest truth that man could ever be given. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that 500 people witnessed Jesus during that 40 days. And 2,000 years later, we still know the stories. And so please hear me, if you are a doubter and you have not been wrecked by the gospel, if Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, if he did not rise in 3 days, well then Jesus Christ in a day of no social media, no telephone, no camera phones, no internet, Jesus Christ back then, 2,000 years ago, was able to accomplish something that no one's ever been able to accomplish ever in history, no matter what era, and that is to be remembered. And so we close in this way that I want you to hear, no matter how many times you have heard this message, God is real and Jesus is his Son and he is the only way. And there's going to be a day where he presses stop on this movie. The clouds are going to part and this game's over. And there will be a day where you don't have any more time to get your stuff together. And there's going to be no more time to fall to your knees because all of us will bow down to Christ. And so I am pleading. I am begging. I will continue to preach until the last one is here. Find me afterwards. Fall now. God, I have heard this message so many times, but I did not know your gospel. I was Peter when he was confused. I heard, but I wasn't listening. I was Peter when he was denying to the little girl. I was scared to death. I was the man or woman who was hiding in the upper room because I thought the punishment was coming. That is who I am. I am praying and pleading to you for you to experience the resurrection, to be changed by the blood, to submit your life to Christ, because there will be a day he returns. It is not just the truth that shows us evidence of this. It is history that shows us evidence of this. Jesus Christ will return. And so as we close here in prayer, I'm going to have any of my men that would love to pray with people at this church this morning. If you're a visitor, Any of my men that would like to pray or feel comfortable praying, any members, men that are comfortable praying with somebody, just kind of walk up to the stage. Not on the stage, just right up here. And I'm going to pray here. As my praise team comes up to the stage, if you would like to come pray with somebody, if you would like to pray by yourself, just pray in your seat or come forward and just wave off the man who's trying to pray with you. But I just pray that you are not prideful or arrogant enough, that you know the message too well, even though you're not changed by it. There's a space for you in heaven just on the knowledge that you have heard, and that is not going to work. And so I ask that you bow your heads with me today, and as I pray over you, but just ask the question, have I been changed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ? God, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that in the midst of so many spiritual traditions and robotics of this day that many of us experience, I pray that you just crash that down. In the moments where we think of bunnies and we think of chocolate and we think of posting pictures of He is risen in our Sunday best, and we think of all of the things, the sermons that we've heard a million times, Lord, just toss it all to the side. I pray that this morning that you wreck us. I don't know who needs to hear this. It might be one. I just pray that you wreck us. I pray that we're not Peter the confused, or we're John the denying, or James the hiding, but we are the ones that are preaching boldly because we've been wrecked. I pray that idols die. I pray our foolishness turns into wisdom. For those that this is a once in a year thing, that we are dragged here, we just feel like we need to come to church on Easter, I pray that we seek God's church because we desperately need God's people. Lord, I pray that years from now, someone looks back and says, this was the day for us that are saved and we have been born again. Let all of this be a remembrance. Let it stir our affections that God, you are good, and Jesus, you are the way. That your death was not just about thorn or nails. It was the wrath that I deserved that you soaked up. That no matter what I do or how hard I try, that I will never be good enough for heaven. But there will be a day that I stand before God and God will not see Hunter Jones and all of my demons and all of my mistakes and all of my sin and unworthiness. But there will be a day that I stand before God, the Creator, the Father, the Friend, and He will see Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we don't just leave confidently with knowledge. I pray that we have been wrecked to the core with God's goodness and Jesus' invitation. In your precious and in your holy name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and His Son, the church says in harmony. Amen.